Tonight, on a very special bonus minisode of IFAF.
Idaho Falls and Freeways. You know, like the ones that go to places like Pocatello. Not to mention, we have our very first in-studio guest.
It's a big one. It's about the great Pocatello land grab. Ever heard of it? You're about to. Here's the trailer.
So you believe that there was some of these groups working together?
I believe there was a full-on, planned and calculated collusion.
Showed right there on them papers where them somebody's are stealing it from you.
Doing what Pocatello, Millennial, and Portneuf have done to us, it has deprived us of any member of our family for even building a house on our own property.
Because we have so much land, people are like, oh, they've got it all, I want some.
This partnership, which included government entities and private developers, really had no interest in providing any kind of benefit to either the Rupps or the Harts.
It's not just the land they want, but they can't finish this development without the water.
Go to a judge that should settle a case for you, but he never ever settled any case.
Between the Harts and us, that's the only chance we've got of cleaning up this judicial system here in Pocatello.
I don't want to sell it. It's been in the family for a long time now.
This is a story as old as the West. Since the dawn of our country, men have fought over land and water. This is that story.
IFAF. Idaho Falls Local, Independent, Alternative Media, with Mike Nelson and Carly Morgan.
You may have seen the ads for the Great Pocatello Land Grab. And we are so excited because for the first time ever, we're breaking the rules on IFAF, and we are welcoming our very first in-studio guest. Say hello to attorney Nathan Olson.
Thank you. Yeah. Glad to be the one breaking the ice here, my bud.
Yeah, we actually rearranged the studio for you. We moved furniture in just for you. I hope that makes you feel a little special.
Oh, that makes me feel so special. Thank
Mormon
you.
Tinglies?
Mormon tinglies.
Mormon tinglies.
Tingling all over.
That's a new one. Just for idiots like me who, look at stories in terms of black and white and good guys and bad guys. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us who are the good guys and who are the bad guys in this?
Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever watched the series Yellowstone?
No.
I haven't either.
But
I feel so bad about.
We played the trailer and it's being compared to a Yellowstone type land grab. Mm-hmm. So is that part of the plot?
Well, it is. When you say part of the plot, it essentially is the plot.
At it's least kind it, of like it, Cowboy it, Game of Thrones, right?
Kind of, but if you've watched the series Yellowstone, there are different facets of society, different characters. That there's you have the ranchers, you have the greedy developers, you have the corrupt politicians, you have the Native Americans, and then all of the characters within each of those groups, some of which have various degrees of good and bad. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly apparent in this series. The difference between the Great Pocatello Land Grab and Yellowstone is this is a true story. Mm-hmm. There is no exaggeration.
Now, I just want to establish your credentials here. For just a second, you'll see a sign on the corner of 17th and St. Clair that says Olson Taggart. You are the Olson, and you are in the same office as Steve Taggart, who literally wrote the book on Idaho real estate. I had to read his book as part of my broker classes, the extra 100 hours of education I got to go from an agent to a broker. Mm-hmm. So it could be said that between the two of you, know a few things about real estate.
Just a few.
We do.
And it could also be said that you know a thing or two about suing the pants off of the city of Pocatello. Do you want to just briefly describe that case from a few years back?
Yeah, Pocatello is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I'm suing the government there. I'm suing the city of Pocatello, the county, for corrupt behavior or unconstitutional actions. And when something goes wrong in Pocatello that involves a big company there or the government, none of the attorneys there want to take that case on.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've heard you can't fight City Hall, but you have, and you've won.
Yeah.
Right. Well, so they come to me because the attorneys there, what's the word? They don't want
to. I mean, I have to assume that it's hard to sue the pants off of the community that you live in.
Well, yes. And also, they don't want to cross wires with persons who have influence and power because it's going to affect their practice. It's going to affect their standing in the community. And they just don't have the stomach for that. They don't have the gumption for that.
Well, and it likely would even affect their ability to do business, I would assume.
It does. It affects their business. And so I think the case that you were alluding to, which took several years, but we prevailed on that, and that is where the city of Pocatello was overcharging their water and sewer fees by an aggregate total of many millions of dollars.
Oh, wow.
And they did so unconstitutionally. And I had a group that came to me to pursue a case against them. And ultimately, we prevailed on that case. And everybody in the city of Pocatello who pays water and sewer fees over a several-year period got a check.
Oh, man. So they're probably all really big fans of you.
Right. Well, the ones that like me are big fans, but then
the people that got the check.
Yeah, or well, the ones that ended up getting beaten there don't.
Yeah. Sure.
So anytime you take on a tough case like this, you're going to make friends and you're also going to create enemies.
So what are you doing now? This is a new case involving the same people or some of the same people, but it has to do with that, correct me if I'm wrong, that interchange from I-15 to I-86?
Yes.
The land in that interchange area, there's a family that owned all or some of that land, 1 million acres for 100 years?
Oh, wow.
Or am I rounding to willy-nilly here?
Well, we're talking 7 generations, and it's really there are two families, the Rupp family and the Hart family, and these are families that essentially settled that area and stuck around when nobody else did. And at one time, between those two families, they owned most of the land that is in and around the city of Pocatello, extending north towards Fort Hall.
Oh, wow.
And there actually are about 5 total families that would fit into that category, but it's the Rupps and the Harts that are most affected by what's going on there. So
you could say that they're at the heart of it, but I'm...
Well, we didn't hear about our puns and dad jokes.
Both of these, the legacy of these two families is just so interesting to study and to learn about and how difficult it was for them. Mm-hmm. People forget that this state was not an easy state to settle.
Right.
Brutal, rugged, difficult conditions.
Mm-hmm.
The original trappers that came through here just wrote this state off as not ever being able to be settled.
Mm-hmm.
These are two families that came in, made it work. And there were a lot of homesteaders that arrived with them, but they didn't survive the Depression. They couldn't make it. And so they bought up their lands and consolidated it and for many, many years, were farming and ranching and living their lives. And the, back to the interchange, and this is where we have to kind of take a 30,000 foot view on this as to what was going on. And that is that around 2016 or so, there was a group that came to the city of Pocatello and said, hey, we think we can get an interchange put in to the south of Pocatello, which is now called Northgate. And we have plans to build a metropolitan city. I mean, these guys had grand plans. We're talking parks, golf courses, mm-hmm. office buildings.
Making Pocatello homes, a little less Pocatello.
Mixed development use.
Yeah.
I mean, they call it their smart cities. And you look at the diagrams. Well, these folks had connections with the Idaho Department of Transportation, and they got the department to put up around $40 million of taxpayer funds to build this interchange, and then entered into what was really a secret partnership to earn all the benefit from that interchange, which is that by putting that interchange in there, that made all of that land to the south of Pocatello, particularly on the east side of the road there, very, very valuable development land.
Off ramps going toward their properties where mm-hmm. people would spend money, stay the night,
right?
Gas up.
Yeah, well, there are just not really many places, frankly, in the country left where you have this kind of easily accessible open space right next to a fairly good-sized city.
Right. Well, and it is a university town, too, so you're just, by nature, going to have a lot of people coming in and out of it.
It's a university town. There are a couple of major corporations there, Simplot. Mm-hmm. There's that hospital there, the Portneuf Health mm-hmm. Center, which they built their brand-new facility. And then it's also... Right. There's an interchange there. You continue down I-15, you're heading to the northern Utah, Salt Lake area, which is growing and expanding. And then if you head west from there, you're heading towards Boise area, which is also a rapidly expanding area. So there's a crossroads there. All of those combined factors makes that potentially very valuable property for development. It's just one of the prime development areas in the country.
Right. Yeah, it's taken something that was an okay piece of land and turned it into, I mean, multiplied its value by a factor of 10,
oh,
50, 100?
Well, more than that. I mean, they calculate the value of that land by the square foot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like commercial right. real estate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, as opposed to acreage.
Yeah.
Right.
So, with residential real estate.
So, an acre of land close to the interstate is going to be worth $1 to $3 million.
Okay.
Whereas when it was just a regular old farm, it's worth more like $10,000 an acre.
So anyway, that puts it into perspective a little bit.
No, this is by far one of the largest cases in Idaho's history. And probably the largest case in this side of the state, for sure.
Yeah, and we're interested in it not only for that reason, but the fact that we're both real estate agents.
Right.
We like real estate. We're both interested in pop culture, mm-hmm. and we saw the ads for the movie premiere, and the fact that it's playing through, I think, at least Thursday. So all of these factors combined, and the fact that you and I have been friends for, let's just say, decades.
Right.
It's like, okay, we've got to do this. We've got to talk about this.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm happy to do it. So back to my narrative here. Yeah, great idea, I think, to put some kind of plan like this together. Ideally, it benefits everyone there because it just brings it in money, jobs, quality of life, you name it. But the big problem,
Chipotle maybe?
Well, yeah, Chipotle. I mean, there's been discussion about putting a baseball stadium there.
Oh, interesting.
Why does Pocatello always get the cool shit?
Yeah, right.
Why can't we have that in Idaho Falls? I know that's not the discussion.
Right, but...
Yeah, that's a whole nother discussion for another day.
Yeah.
But their big mistake was, and really the crux of this whole matter, is that they eyed this land for development, but they didn't own any of it.
Right.
Didn't own any of it, and...
Can I guess Rupps and Harts?
It was the Rupps and Harts.
Mm-hmm.
And
they don't want to sell?
They absolutely did want to sell, however... this group, I have the written agreement that shows us. So keep in mind, there are public governmental entities involved with this, which means this is not something that should be happening behind closed doors.
Right.
But nevertheless, they created this, they call it public-private partnership, to come up with a plan that would only benefit the developers and the city.
And not the people who own the land.
Right. And so in order to be able to do that, it involved quite a bit of deception.
Sounds like it.
And misleading these families. The most valuable part of that land, and this is a big focus of this documentary, is the Rupps. So the Rupps have the land right directly east of the freeway there, so they had the most valuable property. And in order for them to make this work, they needed to not only build the interchange, but they needed to put a road through the Rupps property leading to the rest of the area. Because, you know, if you don't have a road, I mean, this was just bare farm ground at the time. So they went to the Rupps and said, hey, can we buy some of your land to put a road? And Rupp said, sure, so long as you put some intersections in there for us so that we can develop our property. We've been eyeing, you know, that these are very big farms. I think the Rupps have around 1,200 acres. And this, they intended to continue to farm about 900 acres, but 300 acres right off that interstate they had designated for development. So they put this contract together, and in the contract, you know, they sell the land for the road, and then there is a provision allowing them to build intersections so that they could develop their land. And, you know, it's all happening, you know, 2016, 2017, 2018. And then this group starts building the road, and Rupps are paying attention to this. And then they realize that there, number one, there are no intersections. So if you drive down Northgate Parkway, now, you will drive a mile and a half off of the freeway to this. I mean, it is a divided, you know, two lanes going each way. It says major road.
Yeah.
And there is nothing for a mile and a half. Okay. So they didn't put in intersections. And then not only that, they put up big concrete barriers along the road. And
so the opposite of intersections.
Yeah.
The opposite of accessibility.
Yeah.
That the Rupps were asking for.
Well, and basically it funnels the people out of the Rupps land by the sound of it, right?
Right. Long story short is that they had no intention of benefiting the Rupps, and they really got upset with the Rupps when they decided, the Rupps decided to annex their land into the city of Chubbuck, which made more sense to them. It was a lot less expensive way of putting in basic services like water and sewer.
So Pocatello wanted the land for their city, right. And they went with Chubbuck. So they had a choice, and they went with Chubbuck instead.
Yeah, and it wasn't that they didn't like, and this is back at the time, it wasn't that they didn't like Pocatello. It just financially made a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would have cost them many millions of dollars extra to put water and sewer in, for instance. If you're familiar with Pocatello, so unlike Idaho Falls, where we're mostly flat,
right?
Pocatello has hills, right, that elevate hundreds of feet. And so in order for them, for instance, to take care of their sewer needs and water needs, they would have had to put in these lift stations to take it 1,000 feet up.
Oh.
I mean, it was like millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So it made no sense to the Rupps. Well, that really made this secret partnership very upset. And so they were going to make sure that the Rupps weren't going to benefit from this. And then also what they were clearly trying to do is to devalue that property to the point where the Rupps would have no choice.
Oh, sneaky.
To sell them the land at a fraction of its value.
Right.
And that's, I guess, what I thought was the crux of this lawsuit was, hey, instead of paying you fair market price for this, we're going to drive the price down intentionally, and then we'll pay you for it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of?
Yeah, no, that's the kind of shifty, deceptive.
But it sounds behavior. Like there's also several other things.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, they wanted the Rupps water rights. And in Idaho,
water rights are gold.
They are gold because we don't get a lot of rain here.
Right.
And then we have what's called the prior appropriation doctrine, which is the earlier your water right, the more senior it is, then you're the better it is because you get to use it first before everyone else.
First come, first serve.
Right.
Going back to, 150 years ago when you mentioned their families were homesteading.
Yeah.
Right.
And use the water first.
Right. Yep. And you cannot develop property without water.
Yeah, no.
Not only for culinary purposes, but you think of for lawns. And I mean, there are any... You just can't do it. So they had their eye on that. Well, it turns out that these developers that rolled into town were total frauds.
Oh.
Total frauds. What they were doing was they were putting on these really glossy presentations about this giant smart city and, it was supposed to be billions of dollars of development, and then they misrepresented that they were big time developers, that they had developed whole other cities, and it was all a lie.
Oh.
It was all a fabrication.
Do you even get away with saying you have credentials like that? That's nuts to me.
This sounds like the Simpsons monorail episode. Interchange.
Right.
Interchange. That's basically it. And I have reviewed many thousands of pages of documents, emails, and everyone was just drinking their own Kool-Aid.
Right.
And, you get that kind of groupthink going on, the echo chamber, and these guys are, because they've done it multiple times, at one point during this litigation, we brought in a private investigation group, but they were former special ops, some very highly qualified, capable investigators, and they were able to discover that these developers, the millennial group is what they're called, had done this dozens of other times. So they come in, and their main goal is to get people to invest into the project with promise of huge returns. And so they were, you know, one, and we don't have a list of all the people that invested in this, but I have a sinking suspicion that it included certain public officials.
Oh, snap.
In the city.
Sort of, and like insider trading, they knew what was going to happen, or they thought they knew.
Right.
Well, and plus,
and so they invested?
Yeah, and plus there, if you are in a political position, a government position, then you can use that position to make things happen.
Right.
And so that's...
To see the investment through, perhaps make it even more profitable.
It's I don't know if you've heard of racketeering, but it's a lot like that.
Okay.
Right.
It's, you know, you take care of me, I'll take care of you.
Right.
And it's all done secretly. And but the whole thing was a fraud. These guys never had built anything, but they came in, managed to get the Idaho taxpayer to put $40 million into this interchange, and we got countless, we don't even know the number yet, many millions of dollars from the city of Pocatello taxpayers, to, as well as the influence with the expected return of everybody's going to get rich. And right. we're going to double, triple, quadruple the size of this city. And it was all a lie.
Wow.
The whole thing was a lie.
Wow.
So, again, there's a lot more to this story, but they were able to essentially cut the RUPS off. The Harts is a whole different story. The Harts are a little further west, up into the hills. They have beautiful ranch property up there that I think the intention was to just turn that into the, you know, a neighborhood with multi-million dollar houses.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Harts, they want to preserve the ranch for the family, and then some of their property they want to develop. Mm-hmm. And this is where you have this clash between the rural farming ways, you know, that kind of way of life, and the urban growth. That's a fault line right there. We've tried to file lawsuits there. There's a couple of judges there who have just shut everything down, which makes you wonder why.
Right. Wow.
And have put everything in squarely in front of the Idaho Supreme Court.
And so that's my understanding where we are right now, correct? Where yes. They've shut you down, you're on appeal, and you're taking it all the way to the Idaho Supreme Court, which you've argued in front of before.
Mm-hmm.
About over 24 times.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's okay. Pretty impressive. Now, you were saying that these guys came in and they were absolute fraudsters and they were lying about, you know, basically quadrupling the size of the city. But that being said, I mean, would it even be possible for them to quadruple the size of the city if they did, like, grease the right palms and do everything that they said they would do? Like, is it even a feasible thing that they proposed?
Great question. Yeah, or was it all just a pipe dream?
Is there potential for growth there? Yeah, but not, yes, but not to the scale.
Right.
That they were suggesting there was never any feasibility studies done,
mm-hmm.
no market studies. I mean, it is mostly a pipe dream.
So how did they make their money? And where the hell are they now?
Well, the way they would make their money is that they've got money from these investors, all right. of who have been left holding the bag. And, I mean, then they kind of rob Paul to pay Peter.
Kind of a little Ponzi scheme-ish.
That's a simple explanation, but it's mm-hmm. basically accurate.
And are you representing the RUPS and or the Harts?
Both
and
of,
or, okay, have other people come and said, hey, throw my name in there? I don't know how it works, but investors that got bilked out of collectively $40 million?
No, I don't have.
Where
I
mean, are they?
I got my hands full just with. With,
okay.
With these two right. families, but there have been other related lawsuits, but you know, this is the one that this is where the meat is
yeah.
on this whole thing.
Yeah.
So where are Millennial Development? What's their, is that their name?
Oh, they've been once.
That's the one they're using this time.
Yeah.
Well, once they got sniffed out a little bit, they do what they always do. They bailed, and my understanding is now they're over there in Maui.
Oh, wow.
Where, you remember the city that burned?
Yeah. Next to that giant banyan tree, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they're over there trying to defraud those poor people there.
Wow.
Yikes.
So what's next for this case, and what's next for the documentary? I guess what's next for the case is the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm. It is, and it is so corrupt there.
Mm-hmm.
There is influence over the courts, the government. I would say right now for the city of Pocatello and those people that were involved, they're kind of in a CYA mode.
Mm-hmm.
And they're holding on for dear life, but they have a pretty good grip on the way things are done there, and they're so secretive that this documentary, we hope, raises the public profile of this. People need to know what's going on,
right?
Because it affects the entire population, the public there, and sometimes that's what it takes to turn the tide. This is not, I guess what I'm saying is, it's not only a legal issue, it's a public issue.
It's a civic issue.
It's a civic issue.
Right. Well, and you know, I was going to say too, I feel like when there is so much internal corruption, a lot of the time the only option you have is to shed light on it. I mean, look at like the Making a Murderer documentary that got that guy exonerated.
Mm-hmm.
You are right on there. It's exposure, it's mm-hmm. sunlight. And yep. These are folks that have become accustomed to working in the shadows and just having no accountability whatsoever. And there gets a point where the only way you can address that is by exposing it and getting enough people to get upset mm-hmm. and demand that things change. And that's kind of what happened in this fee case I was telling you. The city was dragging their feet on that one, trying to mm-hmm. delay things. And we went to the press and mm-hmm. said, here's what's going on. We got the case settled within a couple of months, and everybody got a check.
Yep. How about that?
Yeah.
So it does work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't view it as like unduly influencing the judicial system, but it's more using all of the avenues available to address a major problem
mm-hmm.
that affects everyone.
Well, and also it's kind of letting victims know that they're being victimized. I mean, at the end of the day, these citizens deserve to be properly represented. And if their representation is doing things that's, you know, screwing over their neighbors and them in the long run, they should know that.
Yeah, the people of the city of Pocatello pay some of the highest taxes in the entire state. They're all of their fees, I mean, they've been bilked on this one. And so it's cost their pocketbook.
Well, $40 million doesn't just materialize.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It came from of Pocatello.
No, that's just the Department of Transportation. That's Idaho. But
so that's
city of Pocatello, my estimate right now is somewhere between 50 to 60 million.
From city tax dollars
that
were put into this thing.
Yeah.
So residents of Pocatello should be super pissed, mm-hmm. and Idahoans in general should be pissed.
That's right. Also, of course, having spent a few years on this and gotten to know the Rupp family as well as the Harts, these are truly amazing people. I mean, they are the lifeblood of the state. Their heritage, you know, they settled. They're one of the original settlers of the state.
Right.
And they're tough as nails. They're just decent human beings.
Mm-hmm. There were a few 4th of July weekends ago, you invited us to this farm. It sounded like a blast.
That's the Hart Ranch.
Easter that we went.
Was it Easter?
It was Easter. And I very specifically remember because I was invited to an Easter lunch, brunch type thing, and I wore what I thought was appropriate, which was heels and a dress. I didn't expect it to be so rough and tumble. And so I get there, and the gal takes one look at me, and she's like, oh, honey, that's not going to do. And she takes me to her room. She gives me a sweatshirt and some leggings to wear. And we just went out on the farm in their UTVs, ATVs.
Yeah.
Their little go-kart things. I don't know what they're called. And just, you know, hung out, messed around. It was a good time. I held their dog.
The barn that you took us into was incredible because the dad, the patriarch, wasn't he like the national rodeo champion in the 30s, right. 34, 37?
Yeah, the Harts have a fantastic rodeo heritage. That gets discussed in the documentary. That barn is one of the oldest structures in the entire area. It's over 100 years. They're restoring that. Mm-hmm. What's interesting, too, about this Hart Ranch that was so happy to have you both go and see is that it is right next to this suburban neighborhood with the LDS temple. And it's like you would never know that it was there. But it, you know, this is a true farm and ranch. There's cows and horses and running around and goats and pigs. And it's very rare that you have such a stark border there between the city and the farm, but it's right there. Like that. And that's one thing that the folks that have done this documentary was appealing to them because they're this Western Justice, the ones that are, have put this together, their big fight is for property rights as well as farmers, ranchers. Most of the time their fights are taking place way out in the boonies and no one hardly knows where it is.
Right.
But this is like right, I mean, that right fault there. Line is a fault line between, it's just so clear. And so very compelling.
This documentary that's premiering right now at the Real Theater, Real as in film Real, R-E-E-L, if you're Googling it for tickets right now, this is only the first episode in what they hope will be Western Justice, the producers of the doc, are hoping will be a limited series, right?
That's correct.
They want to make more, but they haven't yet. This is the pilot episode, basically.
Yes. Well, and they've come in and they've taken hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of footage, interviews. They brought in a very professional group. They had producers and camera folks that have done major films. It's a very high quality, I mean, your studio here is amazing, but these guys,
oh shucks,
they brought in the heavy equipment.
Oh yeah.
And you know, the thing is, in order to do that, that's expensive. They were able to round up enough money to do this one episode. And actually, some of the folks that have worked on this have put their own time and money into it. That's how strongly they feel about it.
Passion project.
Right.
And so,
I feel strongly about it now after talking to you.
It's the kind of thing, once you start learning about it, it just gets your blood boiling.
Right.
And so what they're hoping to do is generate enough interest from this that they can get some more financial backing and finish this story. And I'm telling you, it is one hell of a story.
Right. They initially had the theater scheduled to only have one night of shows, and it sold out within 42 hours, and now they've added a couple more. I think that there's the passion behind it for sure.
Yes, and there has been so much misinformation spread by the people, the bad guys, so to speak.
The fraudsters.
Ones that wear black.
Right.
Yeah.
Black hats. I mean, black coats.
They have tried to, for instance, make the Rupps and the Harts out to be the villains here. That's just absolutely not true. And so once people realize what the truth is on this thing, they're going to want to know more.
Yeah.
And it's not a boring story. It is. There are so many facets. I mean, we've just taken the 50,000-foot view of this. And it's really something that should be told, not only because of the issues that we've discussed, but just the human side of it. It's very touching. It's amazing. I think their hope and my hope is that it ends up in bigger and better things here.
I'm not going to ask you how it ends because really the story hasn't ended yet. That's one of the most exciting parts about this to me is we don't know how this story ends.
Right.
Hopefully it ends with you kicking ass in the Idaho Supreme Court.
Yeah, well, and that's been part of the delay is that there's been so many developments, even from the time they started filming, that it was like, when is there a natural cutoff here? Mm-hmm. And I think they've just decided we need to put this out here. And I'll just say about the ending, it ends on a cliffhanger.
Makes sense.
I knew it.
Yeah. Well, and even our viewers right now can kind of have, they can kind of put a finger on the scale here. You know, like we were saying before, all about putting light into the shadows and, you know, showing people what's going on, getting people riled up and ready for some justice. I mean,
some Western justice.
Yeah, basically, has the story not ended, but you can have an impact on how it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so true, Carly.
I mean, your congressman.
It is. Yeah. It really is true. There is something to be said about the momentum that comes from a public that rises up.
Yeah.
And shows interest. It just changes things. I've seen it before. And I hope and pray that's what happens here. And it seems to be going that direction because it needs to.
Right.
And it really is ultimately about justice and what is right. And, you know, not letting grifters and fraudsters and con men who their main objective is to try to steal and take somebody else's hard-earned work.
For generations.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost have to admire the balls on these guys, trying to make the Harts and the Rupps into the villains here, because, like, having met the Harts at least, I can't imagine going to people who knew them also and being like, oh, they're terrible. They're bad people.
They are.
You meet them, they're just salt of the earth.
They are the nicest.
No, these are the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
And they've certainly come after me as well. They've tried to throw me in jail. I mean, with motions for contempt. That'll get into it a little bit in this. And that's still hanging out there. So,
but are we safe? We're okay, right? We're just this little bullshit internet video podcast.
No. I don't mean to scare you or anything. it's nothing like that. But
that's scary.
But it's
because what if they succeeded?
I try not to think about that.
Yeah.
Well, they won't. Justice always prevails.
Boy, I hope so.
The way I see it is that the more extreme measures that they take, the more stark it is, the more clear it is what they are doing is wrong.
Right.
There's no mealy-mouthing around that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to, sometimes to put out the fire, you got to get into the heat, right?
Right.
And that's what it takes.
Attorney Nathan Olson, the documentary is called The Great Pocatello Land Grab, playing now at the Real Theater. Check showtimes. Hopefully it's not sold out. And we'll also link to Western Justice, the documentary filmmakers, on this post. Anything else we should link
to? Great name, by the way.
Yeah.
Bring up their website. They have a page there that gives some more background information on these families.
Oh, cool.
So we'll link directly to that.
Perfect.
Yeah, so link to that. So they sold out the two theaters right away and then realized that they needed to open up more showings. If you don't see it then, you know, I think at some point it will be released and hopefully on Netflix or something like that.
Come on, Netflix. Come on, Hulu.
That'd be cool.
I may come back at you again after this and talk to you about where it's going next and what people can do to keep it rolling.
You are always welcome here.
Right.
We broke our no guests rule just to talk to you just about this.
Right.
Come on back.
Yeah. It's my pleasure. It's a very compelling, interesting story and very close to home. So you can't go wrong to check it out and do it now because it might be a while before you get to see it again. Hopefully not too long.
So we'll link to Western Justice and the Real Theater showtimes in this post. Nathan, thank you so much.
You're most welcome, my friend.
her and I kind of unfolded this giant collusion and conspiracy between these developers and city officials and judges. And every time we look at each other, she's like, Jamie, you got to look at this. This isn't right. Or I'm like, Haley, I don't feel like this is right. And then we dig into it and we find more.
Showed right there on them papers where them somebody's are stealing it from.
There was a time not too long ago where the way that you settled disputes was you got into a shooting match. They ended up in gunfights and people died.
The public is entitled to know what goes on.
I hope you haven't set the city up for a lawsuit, but I'm afraid you have.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sour about the goddamn law.
It's not to say that America is perfect. It's not. We're a country made up of humans, but it's humans that hold each other accountable. And if this is happening in our own country, then what does right look like?